Welcome to the Optimist Futures Podcast, a place to learn from an industry insider with over 20 years of experience in commodity futures and options. Gain insight to the newest technology, platforms, risk management, trading philosophy, and advice about the current state of the futures and options markets. For futures trading platforms, deep discounts trading commissions, overnight margins, and instructional videos, feel free to visit our website at optimistfutures.com. Please remember that this matter should be viewed as a solicitation to trade. Trading futures and options involves substantial risk of loss and is not suitable for all investors. Past performance is not necessarily indicative of future results. You should therefore carefully consider whether such trading is suitable for you in light of your financial condition. Optimist Futures LLC is not affiliated with, nor does it endorse any trading system, methodologies, newsletter, or similar service. We urge you to conduct your own due diligence. Now, here's your host, founder and CEO of Optimist Futures, Matt Zimberg.
Hey everyone, Jake from Optimist Futures here. The following audio and podcast you'll be listening to is a recording from Matt Z's new weekly webinar series. We'll be holding an interactive webinar every Thursday at 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time on Zoom. So feel free to join along, turn on your camera and turn on your mic. Interact with Matt and other traders out there, bounce ideas back and forth off of one another, and learn from experienced traders who have some skin in the game. We do apologize for the audio quality in advance. As I said, this was taken off of Zoom, so the audio quality may be a little bit worse than you're expecting. And you'll hear some other voices in there from traders who did participate in this webinar in particular. Thanks and enjoy. Now here's Matt and the rest of the Optimist Trading Group.
All right, I'm going to start. I see some more people are coming in, but I'm going to have just a little bit of a preview. So last week, you know, we spoke about size of trading. I appreciate everyone that participated in the forum and gave your input. Futures Cola, if you're with us, handle Futures Cola won the prize. I'm going to have a few more challenges this week for you guys as well. That's it. You just call it, you won. The Optimist Warrior. That's one thing. The first thing that I want to say, the disclaimer, the legal disclaimer, that there's a substantial risk of loss in futures trading. Past performance is not indicative of future results. Don't trade money you can't afford to lose. We're going to touch upon that in a little bit. And please remember that this video will be recorded. It will be placed on YouTube. That is a disclaimer. So if you want to watch it, it will be there and it will be on the Optimist Futures YouTube channel. Okay, so before I'm going to talk about the topic, I want to talk about a little bit about what happened this week, in the markets. And I also want to talk about this GameStop and Reddit, and just to kind of give you my perspective, I really apologize. So I need to close this. Where it's coming from, sorry. So just to give you a little bit of my perspective, what we saw, because I got a lot of questions there, like, do you think I should get into it? Should I not get into it? Should I trade those stocks and not trade those stocks? So the first thing that I wanted to tell you, I'm not licensed in stocks yet. And I'm not a financial advisor. So I'm not giving you financial advice, but we had a little bit of a madness of the crowds this week. We actually saw something that we've never seen before. We actually saw that hedge funds and professionals could be squeezed. So what does it mean to be squeezed? It means that they also could be, if there's a large movement in the market that goes against them, it potentially could really damage them. The one lesson that I've learned from that is about risk and reward. So they're professionals. You know, I'm not going to talk about the value of what GameStop is. I really don't know. But the one thing that I've learned from all of this is that you can have a normal size position, but you can have the market go against you to a degree that it could destroy your account. And so we have hedge funds who were down 15 to all the way up to 53%. And some other guys had to come in and bail them out. And so just remember that, you know, crowds as a mess can behave in a certain way that can affect the market. Following that, the stock crashed. And it just, the biggest lesson for you is that don't follow those things. Just don't try to follow the crowds. You know, when the newspapers get filled with the crowds are along this and they're buying this and you feel like you're missing out, don't chase the markets. Many times you will look at it and you feel like you're missing out. But when those things collapse, they collapse really badly. And usually this is kind of intuitive type feeling and everything else. Now, let me explain to you mechanically what happened here. And so you understand, because I find there's so much information, it's so much sensation that just became almost theatrical. It became more of drama as opposed to facts. Now, what happened was, it's called a short gamma squeeze, and it's an option play. I'll give you an example. People buy out of the money options, and the people who sell them those options need to cover themselves. So somebody goes long an option, somebody sells them that option, and now he's short this option. The institutions have to buy that option to protect themselves and to be in a neutral position. So what they actually go, they go and buy the stock and they drive the prices up. So it's not the masses that drove the prices up. It was also institutions that needed to cover their short positions on the options when the crowds were buying long out of the money options. So it was a very complex thing. And then it was dumped. And then, you know, some people restricted it, didn't restrict it. And people who jumped in at the high then couldn't sell it, you know, because there was restrictions. I mean, you don't want to follow this kind of behavior. I suspect that this is not the last that we heard about that. It could go into commodities. It can go into futures. It could go into other things. So the main point that I wanted to tell you, follow your method. Don't follow the crowds. Don't feel like you're missing out. That's part of being a trader, is really ignoring all this entire noise. So, and I'm sure that there is a lot more to the story than I know. There's people that actually know equities really well, but the bottom line from a risk and reward perspective, I saw a stock that went from 40 to 400 and for 400 dropped below 100. When people were jumping on it all the way at the high. So the lesson for you as traders and as my optimist warriors is to be independent thinkers. That's the number one thing. Just be an independent thinker and think for yourself, okay? Don't try to follow anyone. Don't try to do what the crowds are doing. It's never a good idea. Okay, so I'm going to tell you a few things, okay? And so just to help you out. Okay, so on the forum, on community.optimistfutures.com, there are two questions right now. One question is, why do you want to become a futures trader? Okay, and the second question is, what time frames do you trade? I'm going to talk today about time frames. Now, whoever answers the time frames question, you know, again, you'll have a chance to win Optimus Flow 3 months with DX data feed for that period as well. However, here's the surprise today, and I'm only going to give it to actually people who participated today, because you came, you showed up, okay? So whoever answers the question, why you wanna be a futures trader, okay? I'm gonna give them a book, and I'm gonna give them this book. I know you're seeing it a little bit differently here, but it's by Tim Grover and it's called Relentless, okay? And the reason that I'm gonna give you this book, okay, whoever fills it up, okay, and it's from me to you, is because Tim Grover was one of the people that he was the coach to Michael Jordan. He was his coach. And the recent guy that died, rest in peace, Kobe Bryant, he trained him as well. And he was responsible for a lot of their success and is a very, very unique individual. And I just wanted to share it with you because I think it talks about things, okay, that are very important to traders. one of the things that he talks about is being in the zone, is being focused, right? And he says that Michael Jordan was focused. So whoever puts it, the only thing that I want from you, though, writing why you want to be a futures trader, I don't want to hear that you want to make a shitload of money. That's not what I want to hear. I don't want to hear that, you know, you want to make so much money and you want to run to the Caribbean, you know, with someone who's in your dreams, right? I really want you to think very carefully, okay, and not talk about greed and not talk about how much money you want to make and not talk about I'm going to be, you know, I want to quit my job and become an independent trader, because let me tell you this, being a trader requires more than being an employee to someone, more effort and more time, and it's a full-time job. And you are your own boss, it's true, but it requires a lot of effort. So part of it is there. So write it, but I'm going to give this book only to somebody who puts at least 500 words. So you go to a Word document, you think carefully why you want to be a futures trader. Write it down immediately. We will email you, we will get your address, and we will send it to you, even if you're in the Netherlands, okay? So we'll send it everywhere. I don't care if you're in Australia, New Zealand, or if you're moving to the moon. Now, to make your life just a little bit easy, let me tell you what I like about the markets, okay? What I like about the markets is the challenge of figuring things out without knowing all the parts. There's a lot of uncertainty, right? There's crowd behavior, there's human behavior. Nobody tells you the future. So for me, it's like putting a puzzle together of trying to the best of my ability to capitalize on what I think will happen in the markets, and at the same time, challenging myself from a risk management perspective, challenging my natural instinct as a human being. Our natural instinct as a human being, we are prone to greed. Now, every time I say people are greedy, they take it so badly, you know, because they think it's like an evil thing. But we're all greedy. We all want more. Even a monkey that lives in the jungle, he wants more territory. And he's very comfortable on the tree that he lives on. But he looks at the other side and he says, you know what? There's another flock of monkeys over there, a band of monkeys. There's a band of monkeys, I want their territory too. And humans are like that, we're driven by it, it's in our DNA. So it's kind of a game that you have to fight your DNA and your natural instincts, you know, on many levels. And to me, this is the challenge that I like. I don't think about the money. I don't, when people say, you know, I don't talk about the money or the potential to make money. I talk more about risk management. So think for yourself very carefully. Okay, what is the challenge that you like about the markets? What is that gets you there? Because there's a lot of jobs. There's a lot of interesting things to do in life. You know, tons of stuff. So I challenged myself in the last 25 years, do I still like this challenge? Am I still good at it? You know, how did I become good at it? What did I do to become good at it? If you look at trading from that perspective and not from a Greek perspective and not from because you think you can make an insane amount of money, you know, then it's for you. People, for example, say, talking about the greed, I only want to make $100 a day or $200 a day, right? To me, this is greed. This is not bad behavior. I just tell people, now you've determined, you know, what you want to get out of the market and what the market owes you. And that's exactly the opposite to me of risk management. What the market gives you is the market gives you. Okay, so let's start, okay, talking about timeframes. And then I'm going to give you a chance to participate. And at the end of the timeframes, I'm going to tell you one thing that is very, very important. Actually, I'm going to write it down so I don't forget to mention it. So let's start talking about timeframes. As a trader, you have to choose your time frame. Okay? Brent, really nice short. So what's it called? Time frame. So you have to choose the time frame that you are feeling comfortable with, the time frame that you want to trade. Okay. Now, there isn't a better time frame than another time frame. One of the mistakes that people do is that they think 5 minutes is better than 10 minutes, 15 minutes is better than 30 minutes. There's no such thing. Your own time frame is your own time frame. I'm going to tell you exactly how you choose your own time frame. Okay. There are 3 minutes, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, 45 minutes, 60 minutes. Then you have 3 hours, you know, and then you can go from then 6 hours and a day to weekly and so forth. Now, whatever time frame you use, okay, what you should have is two time frames above it. Okay? Two time frames above it. For example, if you're trading a 15-minute chart, look at a 4 hour and look at a day. If you're looking at a day, look at weekly, you know, and then look at monthly. Why is it important to have the chart that you're trading from versus two other time frames? The reason that it's important, it's because it gives you a perspective. Where are you in the bigger picture? So what I always do, if it's a short time frame, and people ask me, well, Matt, what do you think? Whether it's long or short, what I try to do is to look at that time frame and other time frames. Now, don't choose very unique time frames, okay? Let me give you an example, okay? So somebody told me once that they trade 2.5 minutes along with some other 5.25 or something like that. And I'm not against it. If you find your pattern in that time frame, well, good for you. It's absolutely fine. It's good. But here's the problem with those time frames for majority of people. Majority of traders, things happen, and I truly believe in it because there's a lot of participants. And if some people see the pattern, if some people, if there's thousands of traders that are looking at a 5-minute time frame and they see a certain pattern, they will act on it, right? So you want other people to see it. It's a prophecy that fulfills itself. I do believe in it, right? It doesn't necessarily happen because it's so unique. It just sometimes, I'm not trying to guess the crowds. I'm not trying to say what they, I'm just saying if you trade time frames, don't have them, you know, too unique, 2.5 minutes, 2.5, you know, 2.34 seconds. Stick with the 5, the 10s, the 15s, and so forth, okay? Now, how do you choose? How do you choose a 1-minute time frame, 3-minute time frame? And then you can even go to other, it doesn't necessarily have to be in a time frame. For example, people who trade tick charts look at the number of transactions. So people want to just see 500 transactions that have occurred in a certain level. Or some people who trade Renko, they look at moves. So not everything is time frames. Now, I don't know how to look at tick charts. I don't know how to look at Renko. I mean, I know. I'm not an expert at it. So I don't feel comfortable. I like more time frames. It doesn't mean that you shouldn't do it, right? But even if you have tick charts, you can have, again, two time frames that are two transactions that are higher than that. Like, for example, if you look at 100 tick charts, you know, look at 500 tick charts and maybe look at 1,000 tick charts. Just see what's happening on that level. Many times when you start looking for support and resistance, you will find that if that support or resistance occurs on bigger time frame, I believe that potentially, legally, and I have to be very careful here, potentially you're looking at something that is more valid with a higher probability. Now, remember one thing. Charts do not predict the future. You're not looking at charts because they can tell you the futures. They do not. When they say past performance is not indicative of future results, it's absolutely true. What happens in the past happens in the past. Charts only make you get trades with better probability. That's it. That's the only thing. It's just everything that you're doing is just for a better probability. Okay. So those are the things. Okay. Now, when you, I don't know what is, I'm sorry. I apologize. I'm going to, I don't know why. Okay, sorry about that. Where was I? Okay, so time frames, right? How do you choose? First of all, when you have low time frames, you're making more decisions. On higher time frames, you're making less decisions. So the first question you want to ask yourself, how many decisions do you want to make? How many decisions you're personally responsible for, right? So that's the one thing. What you want to do is really decide as far as your time frame. It's the decision, it's the number of decisions you want to make. If you're trading a 1 minute chart, you might have more setups. If you're trading, 50 tick charts, you might have more decisions to make there as opposed to waiting for higher level of transactions. So that's essentially what you're comfortable with. And remember, I'm always going to mention it, that this is a business of decision making. And so you want to operate in an environment that you're comfortable making decisions. So you have to ask yourself, how many decisions do I want to make throughout the day? How many decisions my personality allows me to make? My personality does not allow me to make a lot of decisions. It's just me. I think I can make more decision in trading than the average person, but just in general, I can't. Guys, hold with me just 1 second, please. Just 1 second. Jake, you with me? Okay. Can you pop for a minute? Just 1 second. Okay. Let me just write something here, Jake, because I need your help technically just for a minute. Okay. Okay, you saw that? Okay, thank you. It's distracting me. Thank you. So I appreciate it. Okay, so we have low time frames and we have higher time frames. So again, it's the decision making. Okay, next thing. When you have low time frames, you have higher noise level. It's not necessarily bad. It's not necessarily bad. It provides for more opportunity, right? You just want to know if you want to operate in an environment, in such environment, because there's more noise that happens in the short term, in any time frame of any asset class. On the other hand, you have higher time frames and you have a little bit more noise. Now, don't take what I said here as a rule. There's always exception. This could be days that the market is extremely volatile. And even on an hourly chart, it's very volatile. All I'm saying is just in general, all the things that I'm saying are in general, in a low time frame, you have higher noise, a lot of things that are happening, right? So for example, let me use an example here. So let's say you're long the yen, right? And you're trading a 1 minute chart. And within that 1 minute, some accounting firm came and they needed to convert their currency and they sold a lot of yen at the market and it just took the market down within 1 minute and then it resumed to its normal market. And you were long, you were stopped out and then the market continues, right? So as opposed to somebody, for example, who traded the yen on an hourly chart, and he would have maybe a stop loss a little bit bigger because obviously, you know, it's a higher time frame. So potentially he might have not got stopped out, right? And again, as a legal disclaimer, because I'm licensed, remember, stop losses will not always get stopped where they should. They could have slippage, and this could be very difficult market conditions to execute such orders. Okay, so basically, this is something that you have to be aware of. I know it requires a little bit of an experimentation from you, right? But eventually, you will find it. Eventually, you will find your own unique time frame. Maybe it's 5, 15, and an hour. Maybe it's 15, an hour, and 4 hours. But whatever you find, get comfortable. And this is really my goal here with every single one of you. Feel comfortable in the environment that you are creating for yourself. Trust it and operate on that. Okay? Now, let me tell you why I really brought you here. Okay? I'm about to tell you something, okay, that nobody challenged you on yet. I hope. I ask these people all the time. But I'm going to challenge you a little bit. And I want you to write the answer here in the chat. Okay? What, and everything is in the context. So I'm not deviating. I'm not deviating from the time frames theme. But I'm going to ask you a challenging question. Challenging because it seems that the answer is obvious. But I want to know what's your definition, which is interesting to me. Honestly, I'm not asking it because I want to prove something. I just want to, you know, your perspective. What is a profitable trade? What is your definition of a profitable trade? Please write it down. Tell me what you think a profitable trade is, you know, in the chat. If you don't know, you don't know. It's fine. You know, obviously I'm not, you know, whatever you think it is. Okay, positive number, any trade resulting in a profit, trade that is positive. Okay, good trade is well executed and managed, okay, not to lose, okay. Following your method of trading and sticking to it, okay, fantastic, good for you. Did I learn? Okay, you followed your risk management. Positive expected value. Okay. All right. Okay. So consistent with the trading plan. Okay. 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 So let me tell you my definition of a profitable trade. The definition of a profitable trade is where you took, okay, an advantage of a mispricing in the marketplace. And the market played along and gave you the expected value of where you thought it would be. Clearly, it results in money. Yes, right? But I don't consider a profitable trade if you came in randomly based on a gut feel, pressed the buy button, the sell button, and made money. And if you remember this definition, you're not going to focus on money anymore. What you're going to focus is really on finding mispricing in the marketplace. I don't care if you buy the e-mini at 38.50 and it goes to 38.52. I don't care if you buy a stock at 2 and it goes to 10. If you buy a stock at 100 and it goes to 200. Any positive value is a result that at that moment in time, the market was not priced right. And it can happen on the downside as well. Some people are better in getting signals, you know, than others, having better methods or anything. But the ones that are honestly good at it, that's what they really understood. Because you know what? I always try my best to isolate myself from the concept of money and trading. It's so hard. It is so hard. I mean, listen, sometimes you can be in the trade or, you know, not just, you know, you can be that could be life altering for you. You can be in a trade that day or could cover your month. It's It's very hard to remove the money component out of it. It's extremely hard. But what it is, at the end of the day, any profitable trade is, because remember, in futures, we have long and we have short. So my definition applies to both. You either found an overvalued market or you found an undervalued market. And the market played along according to the probability. So this is why it's very important. So remember, we spoke about time frame. You want to operate in a time frame that you're comfortable with, and making two higher time frames as a reference, right? You want to choose a method you choose a time frame that you operate in. And within that time frame, you want to find overvalued and undervalued markets. And you have to find that, and that's why choosing the time frame is very important, because you want to operate in an environment where you can find it, it's a divergence, right? So sometimes the market gets overvalued and you say, you know what? The probability here that the market will correct itself. The probability here is that the markets will, you know, go up. That's why if you think about along that logic, you will stop thinking about, the money cons, the gains, or you won't try to short markets that are going up, right? You're not going to try and say, oh, I got a short here because it must fall. Or when it's falling, you say, oh, this is the bottom. You start to really understand, is my probability here higher? Is the market still mispriced? So when you go up against the crowd that goes up, right? And all of a sudden you're a short, what's the mispricing that you found at that point in time? Now you're accountable. Now it's not feelings anymore. Now you say, you know what? My method told me to be short. Fine, you get stepped out. You will get stepped out sometimes, fine. But at least you say to yourself, I wasn't impulsive and I really found an opportunity here where the market was overpriced or something was mispriced, okay? And that leads me to the next very, very important point. Remember the concept. You looked for a market under a certain time frame that was overpriced or underpriced. And now I'm going to take you to the next level. This is the third stage, which is really important. When you're testing your method, what you want to do is ask yourself, how long does this opportunity exist in the marketplace? How long is this overpricing or underpricing exists? Okay, let me give you an example. If you trade short time frames, let's say any from 1 minute to 15 minutes, you know, I would say that you should be in a trade no more than 3x the time period. If you're trading a five, again, not a rule. This is not a rule. I'm just saying in general, understanding the concept. If you're trading a 5 minute time frame and you're in a trade more than 15 minutes, the overpricing and the mispricing is gone. It's gone. You know, if you're trading a 5 minute chart and after 15 minutes, you don't have a profit, you didn't hit your target, you know, maybe it's slightly in a loss, you know, get out of it, it's done. There's no point of being in a trade that's based on a 15 minute chart when you're waiting 2 hours. That opportunity is gone. Whatever overpricing or underpricing or whatever has occurred, enough water went under that bridge to take away that opportunity for you. So you also have to learn to be humble and say, you know what? Now, to say, okay, listen, I've been in this trade for so long, nothing happened, maybe I have to look at a new one. Instead, people will stay an hour, 2 hour, 3 hour, 4 hour in a trade, missing other opportunities because they were in a 15 minute chart and they're still looking for it. And I say, what's the logic? Where is the logic in that? If you're looking for overvalued and undervalued market, the market must have, either the opportunity was not there or it was gone. So you really have to challenge yourself and say, you know what, does this opportunity still exist? So clearly, you know, if you say, okay, I'm in a 15-minute chart, 45 minutes passed. It's 3X, my time frame. Is it still there? Now, look, it could be that the market is still building up. There could be an exception to the rules. You could get out and then the market will hit it. So people, sometimes they have this fear of missing out, right? Like, oh, but if I get out, and what if the market hits after? And they're concerned with what they're going to think after. What are they going to think about? Oh, if I get out and the market goes, you know, who cares? You know, and even if it goes, so what? So what? You remember that at any single point in time, you're only working with the input that you have at the time. And you're asking yourself, am I making, okay, am I making the best decision at the time? Okay, so, you know, and Brent, by the way, listen, I know we disconnected the camera. I apologize. It was just distracting me. I'm not upset or anything. I just need sometimes to focus when I talk, and sometimes I have ADD. And I do have ADD. So I really need to focus. I can't have any distractions. So, you know, phones distract me. I tell my kids, my wife, everyone not to come. So no offense. that's basically, you know, what I wanted to tell you. Now, what does it mean? It means that when you test your method, when you're in a profitable trade, time that trade. Time it. Ask yourself, how long did from the time that I got in until the time I got out, I actually had, you know, how long did the profit take place? How long did my stop loss took place? You may find out that you need to be in the trade 5X. You might say, you know what, Matt said 3X, but really my method on 5 minutes is 25 minutes. I have to wait for that. His 3X does not work for me. So the goal is not that you listen to me and, you know, and take all my rules. You find your own rules. It's just, in my opinion, you know, from what I see and my experience, it shouldn't be more than 3X. But it could be 2X for you. It could be, you know, even 1X. 5 minutes matched with 5 minutes. 5 minutes, it didn't occur. You get out and that's it and you're done. Instead of, because remember, time is not your friend in trades. You know, it's maybe your trade. If you're an investor, you can sit there, you know, time is great. Or if you collect wines, it's fun, you know, time is a fantastic thing, right? But when you trade, when you trade futures on leverage, time, you know, it could be your friend or it could be your enemy. So you got to know how to work with the concept of time. This is why I'm talking about time frames, right? So when you test your method, what you want to do is measure the amount of time from the minute you implemented it to the minute you got out, whether a profit or a loss. 2 minutes, 3 minutes, 5 minutes, you will get an average. You will have an average. You will have a sample of large numbers that tells you those things. Now, on our platform, Optimus Flow, that our Optimus Warrior Future Scholar One, there is a feature built in that actually tells you that if you, you can specify the time frame. Sorry, you can specify the time that you want to be in the trade. So you have a profit, you know, you have a loss, that you have a risk management, but you also have now time. Now you also have the concept of time. You say, if this trade does not work out in 2 minutes, alert me. Alert me to that. And we also, you can also execute that trade. You click on it, you get out of everything, right? And it cancels the orders and everything else. So this is something, you know, that I'm being completely honest. This is a concept that nobody taught me. Nobody taught me. But I did see it, this feature, more when I started investigating into time. I started thinking about this concept of, wait a minute, you know, how come I'm still sitting and looking and looking and looking and nothing, and it's just driving me crazy. And so many other opportunities could occur in the meantime that I should be looking for. But I saw it more on the equity side. So I came across, I don't remember which one was it, but I came across a book of a guy, and I'm sorry, you don't have to read the whole book because I taught you that, but he was also talking about the concept of time frames, you know, of how he judges it. I just had to take it, you know, on a different interpretation. Yeah, did his own interpretation. My interpretation is that, you know, first you have to explain to people what's a profitable trade, how, you know, that it's not just a trade that made you money. It's a trade that you took advantage of a mispricing in the market. You know, even if you have, think about it this way, okay? Just let me give you an example of mispricing. Let's say that somebody knocks on your door, okay? And he says, I want to buy your house. I want to buy your house, right? And let's say your house is worth $1 million. And he says, look, I'm going to give you $1 million. Now, imagine that he knows something like Google is coming to town. Google is coming to town, you know? So he knows that all the employees will come, the families will come, they will bring their dogs, their cats, their kids, you know, and maybe even their mother-in-law will come too. I see all the men are so happy. And so they will come in. Now he knows a piece of information that the train is coming. It's going to go up, right? And you don't know this. And so he's taking advantage of a piece of information that he knows that although the market right now is at $1 million, he already knows it's going to be something else, right? So that's really, you know, the concept, you know, that you know, behind overpricing and mispricing in the marketplace. Just bear with me one second. I have to leave my computer open for my technician. And I'm just again. All right. So sorry for this distracting news. Okay. Let me see. Okay, I spoke to charting this probability. I did. Okay, last thing that I would say that sometimes people ask me, they said, if I look at three time frames, you know, which chart do I trade from? You trade from the chart, the lowest time frame for you. The other ones are just for context, where you are. They're just for context. Okay, now I can open the mics if you have any questions. Or you can type them if you want, or you can open your mic, or you can open your camera. I'll answer anything about what I said here.
Hey, Matt, I have a question.
Sure, Ben, go ahead.
So in the house example, you said that, you know, this person knows some information that the owner doesn't. When it comes to, you know, big banks and large firms, they obviously have the most information. And then retail traders, us, you know, we're limited to our information. So within Optimist Flow or whatever other trading platform that's provided to us, how do we gain access to that, you know, more valuable information about where the big hedge funds are buying or selling or where the liquidity is in the market?
Okay. Well, first of all, believe it or not, any trader out there is seeking information just as much as you do. And this week was a pure example that despite all the information that hedge funds may have, they still manage to lose and they can lose a lot of money. There's a myth about institutions. You know, there's a myth about JP Morgan's of the world, the Goldman's of the world, all those big institutions. And I'll explain it to you, okay? And just to tell you that I'll tell you what advantage they have that you don't have. I'll get to that. But it's not information. It is not information. You have the exact same level of information. And all those big banks, the JP Morgans and the Goldmans and everything, don't forget one thing. They're brokers. The majority of their money is made on brokerage. They're market makers. In 2008, when they're interrogated, you know, Blake Finkelstein, and they said, why did you take the other side of the trades and all those mortgage-backed securities that caused all this collapse? He says, because this is what we do. Now, they looked at him as an evil guy, but that's the truth. You know, they build markets. They make markets, right? Majority of their money is from sales of products, building markets, building over-the-counter products for hedging. They're a sales institution. Now, they do have prop firms. They do have prop money that they use and everything else. I think the advantage that they have is equipment and technology. So basically, they can execute high-frequency trading. Now, a lot of people think high-frequency trading is a reference to frequent trading back and forth. It is not. Frequency is speed. So they can take a machine, they can place it on the CME or the New York Stock Exchange and build an algorithm that executes in nanoseconds. Retail does not have that privilege. That's why you can't trade on one tick charts, you know? So basically, you know, that's the reality, you know? Now, as far as information, Ben, you just have as much information. You trade on the tools that are available to you, and that's your weapon. They trade on the tools that are available to them. A lot of people say, I can't trade because of those high frequency trading. Well, don't trade on one tick charts and don't go against, you know, somebody who has a bigger tank than you. That's the bottom line. You just trade different time frames and you stick to your method, right? That's all it is. You know, you make your own rules. How do you get that information that they have? What information do they have that you don't? They look at the same market. They look at the same chart. They look at the same dome, right? They look at everything else. Are there not successful investors? I'm not saying that everybody is Warren Buffett, but aren't there any successful investors out there that bought Tesla when it was at the beginning of the road, that they saw the future? What information did they have? So all I'm saying is, you know, the retail crowd is sometimes obsessed with an enemy. You know, they have to have an enemy. There's no enemy. You trade on your own time frames. They trade on their ordinary time frames. You're not a market maker. They're a market maker. You know, they have a different role than you do. That's it, right? And every bank has that. Remember one thing. Banks and all those big guys, our banks, are sales institutions. They sell products. It could be a company, for example, from Singapore who comes to them and says, hey, listen, I have real estate. It's falling. I have, you know, the Singapore currency. I think it's the Singapore pound or the Singapore dollar, right? And it's deteriorating. So can you help me hedge that? And they say, sure, we'll sell you insurance on that. We'll build some sort of a product around it. It's called over-the-counter. And they make money, markets for those products. And that's how they make their money. So the information that you have, that's what you need. And I would encourage you to work with that. Okay. Are there market makers? You're welcome. Are there any market makers in the futures markets? Yes, there are. I don't know exactly who they are, but they are. Anybody who, you know, people provide bids and asks. So it has to come from somewhere. Definitely. Any other questions? Okay, so there's a question here from Oscar. Matt, what time frame would you draw your support resistance levels from? 1 hour, daily, weekly, and so forth. So like I said, you can choose your own. You choose your own time frame. But for example, if you draw support and resistance, which I think everybody should look at support and resistance, if you are looking at, you know, at 1 hour, sure, you can look at the support in 1 hour, and then you can go to 4 hours, or you can look at a day, and then you can look at a weekly. It's up to you. But if there's support on all those levels, it could potentially give it more validity. So again, you know, the goal of this webinar is not so much to force you to look at one direction or choose one, and not to have this idea of one is better than the other. You know, 15 minutes, it's not better than 30, and 30 is not better than 60. Like I said, you know, people say that, like I said, it's an individual game. People say trading, you know, is a lonely game, and it should be. It absolutely should be. Because you, at the end of the day, it will make your life so much easier when you start searching for better. Your better is your best. That's all I can say. Okay. Andrew here says, we're actually trading we're actually trading anymore when all that is happening is Fed printing money, it's manipulation, and Fed answers to just print more and more. Okay, don't care. You know what? Listen, I don't control fiscal policies. I'm not a public policy guy. I can only see the chart. I can look at market conditions. Not everything that's happening in short time frames for futures traders is necessarily a reflection of the economy. You know, we saw markets going up tremendously during COVID, during printing money. You know, you can say markets should go down. We should have inflation with so much money being printed. I don't know. I'm not in the business of economics. You know, I'll leave it to academics. You know, academics have ideas about, but they don't understand risk in trading. You know, they have ideas and everything, you know. So I listen to economists because it's interesting. But do I look at it as a prediction? No. And does it affect my trading? No. And does it affect, you know, how I think, you know, how the technology, what shape it will take place and human behavior? No. Actually, I think, you know, the more I look at fundamentals and then and their interpretations, the more I just confuse myself, especially now when we have, sometimes I think there's like a young writer and his editor comes to him and calls him at home because they all work from home and they say, hey, can you write something about Fed? He's like, yeah, sure, you know? So, and then you read it and you think, oh, it was from that publication, they know what they're doing. No, they don't. No, they don't. Because sometimes, you know what? Sometimes I put the same phrase and I would find the same publication on the news from Google. Ben is laughing. This is why the stock went up. 2 minutes late, like a day before, from the same publication, this is why the stock went down. So all they're writing about is just to get clicks for their advertisers. So they can say, hey, tons, look how many people visit us. Not for the content and the quality, but to say, hey, look how many people visit us. Okay. So Paul says, so let me just go back up here because I missed that. Okay, so good questions. Okay, let me just do this. All right, sorry. Let me just, okay. All right. All right, let me see here. There was another question. I wish I could just do. Jake, can you help me out a little bit so I can read this question? Can you move it with your mouse? Above Andrew. All right. What do you think about, okay. All right. Okay, go above that because I don't think I addressed that. Okay, in real applicable, how do you determine a market? Okay, here. In real applicable terms, how do you determine if a market is over or undervalued? That's your challenge. That's your challenge to find out. That's like asking, how do I make money? Where do I dig for gold? You know, where do I dig for oil, I should say. You know, that's your challenge. It's your challenge to find undervalued and overvalued. You know, that's on you to find that product. But what you really have to remember is that following a trade, your risk management will have such a big effect on the outcome. You know, so it's not only to find overvalued and undervalued. You may end up making money on the trade, not because you were able so much to find overvalued and undervalued, but you were able to manage it right from a risk management perspective. And all the other things that I mentioned, you know, before, being in the right, you know, having the right size will determine that, you know, being in the right time frame. That you're trading something that's the noise level, it's you're comfortable as far as your personality, right? So that's your challenge. Okay, next question. How long are you going? I don't know which trade you're talking about. Okay, sorry, Kevin. Okay, go down. Okay, Michael, what do you think about alternate periodics, take, range, rankle, delta? Ben, he trades delta, you know? He knows market flow, you know. He was in a prop shop. Ben knows flow. He's comfortable with it. He actually has a journal on our site that he puts his interpretations of the market. So he's comfortable with it. I'm not against anything. I'm not against Fibonacci. I'm not against, you know, other, whatever it is, if it works for you. I mean, listen, you know, there are things out there that I think are just a little bit, you know, like could be astrology or things of that nature. You know, I mean, maybe that's too much for me. But as far as those are valid, delta, range. But when you trade, for example, order flow, you look at very specific things, right? So you look at the number of buyers versus sellers on every single time frame. For me, it's a little bit hard. It's hard for me to focus on that. But there's a lot of people that can. So remember, I also have my limitations as a human being. You know, it takes me probably longer to trade a book than an average person. You know, I stare at things for a while. So I've learned to live with my limitations when it comes to that. And you have to find yours. You know, my father, for example, he's a very focused guy. Nothing will distract him. You know, you can literally go, you know, you can take a pot, you know, and a stick and bang it like that when he reads, and he will never hear it, right? He will never. I'm not like that, you know? So it is what it is. Okay. Jake, can you scroll down a little bit? Okay. Okay, go down. Okay, lower than that, lower, because we saw that already. Okay, Paul, in real applicable terms, how do you determine? Okay, go down, scroll down. Okay. Okay, so here's a question. Could you talk a bit about how you see technology and algorithm changing characters of the market and the consistency of patterns occurring in the market? That's a really good question. So we're talking about markets, about being overvalued and undervalued. Because of the number of people who are participating in the market, it's more challenging. Because there are algorithms that are scanning the markets for overbought and oversold situations. They do that as well. So you have to be really fast. What's changing right now is that you have to be determined. Rob Krebs, that's a great question. You have to be very, very determined. When you have a method and you trade that method, you must click. If you don't click, you know, if you're hesitant, that opportunity is gone. All I'm saying is don't trade based on gut. But sometimes when even people with good methods have hesitations, that could be 3-4 times in a trade and lose, and it's discouraging. And then they have doubts, you know, and that works against them. Again, I'm not judging them, but what I'm saying is potentially that's what it is, right? So you have to be very determined. If you have a method, you have to know if it wins, you know, 4 out of 10 times, maybe 6 times it loses. You know, maybe you still make money on those 4s because you are able to max out the profit on them. So remember, you know, it's machines are scanning for opportunities, in my personal opinion. But again, nothing will deter me, you know, from the markets, regardless of the machine, because it's still a human business. They still, majority of the people will not make smart decisions like you will. They don't come, they don't get, like, I'll give you an example. We send out an email, right? We invite people for a seminar, right? Get educated. What I get back? Remove me, remove me, remove me, remove me, remove me, right? So it's either people don't want to learn or they'll learn so much bullshit they don't want to listen anymore to anybody who gives them practical advice. Your knowledge, your behavior, your discipline, that's your weapon against other retail traders. Don't kid yourself. It's a zero-sum game. It's sad to say that there needs to be losers for you to be a winner. If that consciously bothers you, don't trade the markets. To me, it doesn't consciously bother me. But you know why? Because first of all, I don't steal it. It's not like I reach to the markets and I grab money. You know, my depth of market or my chart doesn't print money. It takes effort, it takes skills, it takes sweat and uncertainty. And you're just as good as your last trade. You are just as good as your last trade. You don't know what tomorrow will bring. even people who traded for 20 years. You know what? Jim Simmons, a brilliant mathematician of Renaissance, built the Renaissance Fund. Last month, lost 10% in 1 month. Happens. Losses happen. Will he get out of it? No. Listen, it is what it is. Even the brightest brains in the world, you know, we have the algos and math models and everything else. You know, sometimes it doesn't work. It is what it is. So remember, your education, your dedication, your homework, reviewing, that's your weapons. That's your weapons against tons of people who will be impulsive. This week, we saw it more than anything else. This entire GameStop stock was entirely impulsive, idiotic behavior. There was no justification, you know, to that. I mean, the Twitters that came out of it, the drama with Robin Hood, everything, you don't want to be like that. So it is what it is. Okay, Jake, go up for a minute. I saw a question there. Okay. Okay, so here, 100% watch CNBC News overnight, futures go up, tiny amount, futures flat, and then they have an entire article pre-written about it. Yes, yes, okay, they need content. What they need is a story. They need content. CNBC needs content, right? And then they need that guy with a hammer, whatever his name is, Jim, who turned the markets into a circus. A circus. People call him. He banks things, you know, theatrics, $20 million in subscription fees, whatever they say. You know, I mean, this is not who you want to follow. This is not who you want to learn from. I'm not looking for celebrities in the trading business. Okay, what is your method to roll over a future contracts? Hey, listen, liquidity dries up, you roll over. Next month has more volume, you roll over. End of story. Okay, next. Matt, what do you think about, so we did that. Jake, go down a little bit. Okay, Michael, I'm writing video ideas from these webinars and we'll create one on that. Michael, this is Ben answering. Okay, 1 hour, okay, last two, okay. Okay, since using McDR assigned stochastics, stop, Jake. I had some positive days, less trades and less fees. Plenty of videos on YouTube. Okay, hey, Joe, if it helps you, you know what? It is what it is. You know, if you are able to minimize your decisions and now you have more concentrated trades and it will help. Okay, Oscar, wow, I appreciate you taking the time with this educate. Hey, listen, you're very welcome. It's my pleasure. Okay, Paul S., not talking commissions and webinars. You want to get quotes? Call us. You know, we'll do that. I don't want to solicit anybody. This is not. I don't want to turn my webinars into a solicitation phone calls, or solicitation to the business. Okay, last videos you were talking about implementing a journal in Optimus Flow software. I know you find it important. When do you have any? Okay, so we are trying to find. A journal that we will attach to Optimus Flow. I face a number of options. I have one in mind that I really want to do, but what I'm trying to do is provide it free of charge. All the deals that I have in place, I pay for them and I want to provide customers, you know, who come to Optimus, give them those tools in order to do that. So Emil, I'm still working on it and I promise you it's in the works. I never forget. Sometimes my partners don't move at the same pace or my technology partners that I want to move. You know, sometimes I'm very fast. You know, one of my customers once called me a bulldozer. I had to think twice about that, you know, about my relationship with people. And with my vendors, but they're good people. I try to surround myself with really decent people. My employees are decent people. My vendors are decent. If they're not, it's a very short-term relationship. Okay, so again, reminding you, all of you, challenge to get the book, Relentless, free of charge. Anybody who writes 500 words, why you want to be a futures trader. Then go to the second community post on community.optimusfutures.com. Jake, you want to post the questions here? You want to send them live and maybe post them here on the chat so everybody could see them, those two questions. And, you know, and so the book for sure you'll win. All you have to do is 500 words and go from there. And then you have the second one, what time frames do you trade and why, and share. And, you know, look, what I'm trying to do with the site I'm trying to grow the number of questions so people can find us. So anything you want to post over there, as far as questions, communicating with others, you know, it's great. Ben puts a lot of effort, you know, into writing the S&P commentary that he has. It comes in every day. Ben, I appreciate it very, very much. And your participation there would be great as well. So if there's no, is there any other questions that you guys have? Because you're asking good questions. I hope I'm helping you. And you know what? I have a question for you. You know what? Is this time zone like 4:30 on Thursday is comfortable? Would you prefer it on others? Because I see some webinar guys do it at 8 o'clock. Yonatan. Oh, you're here, buddy. We have a guest from Israel. Yoni is a great guy. Yonatan is a fantastic guy. All right. So one thing that I wanted to do is, I don't know if I should change the times or not. I guess people showed up here. I guess they're comfortable with this time, but I see sometimes people do it at like 8 o'clock at night, or they do it on another time, you know? So, okay, people saying this is great, I'll stick with that. I guess it's good because the Europeans, it's not too late. It's 6-7 hours. And it's here, the West Coast is 3 hours ahead, right? And everything else. It's the end of the trading day, that's true. All right. So I see there's no more questions. If there are any more questions, type them here, I'll wait 1 minute. And that's basically it, I think. Okay, I see no more questions. Everybody, thank you. Remember why I'm doing this. I'm doing this because, first of all, I want you to be successful. I really care. It bothers the living hell out of me. And I want to use the S word really badly again, you know. And feeling bad for all the people out there that are lost in the trading world. How, you know, sometimes you're a victim, you know. Sometimes you're a victim because you want to learn. You want to learn from trading, right? Like you say, okay, you know what? Listen, I'm a decent human being. I have a profession. I teach people what I know, right? And then, in the trading world, I find there's so many people out there, they don't have the practical experience, right? They just don't have it, right? And sometimes they go to one guy and they're victims because they're just starting out and their head was filled with BS. But then they become willing victims. Now they go from one guy to another guy, to another guy, to another guy, thinking that he's going to give them the magic. And I told them, you have the magic. I just want to give you the tools so you can provide yourself with that knowledge and everything else. I never downplay the risk in this market. I don't downplay the challenges of this market. I don't downplay the amount of dedication that you need. But the reason that I'm so honest about the business, because there's always going to be somebody else out there will say, it's so challenging, I don't know if it's for me. Good, out, get out, don't do it, right? Leave it to those who actually are, leave it to the optimist warriors, you know, that are on top of their game. Leave it to those who are trying really, really hard and understand and can truly get up in the morning and say, you know what, I am a trader. I make difficult decisions every day that others do not want to do. I do things that others don't want to do. Others look for tips, you know? They look for tips, they look for shortcuts, they look for everything else. I, in my life, all of my life, I thank God for that I've always looked for people who are successful in their field and have skin in the game. Maybe it's this skeptic family that I grew up in. I grew up in a family of skeptics. Everybody's a skeptic. My father was a skeptic. My mother is a skeptic. My aunts were skeptics. My grandma's a skeptic. Everybody's a skeptic. And that made me ask relevant questions too. You know, if you're about to teach me something, how much do you know? You know, how, of that level. And sooner or later, as time progresses, you start understanding who knows, who gives you an answer that you want to hear about trading, or wants to tell you the reality of how challenging it is, but at the same time give you good input so you can make good decisions and say, you know what, I think I can do this, You know, I just need to know how. And this is what I'm here to provide you. So for those starting out, Matt, what instrument would you recommend? I don't understand by instrument. If you mean platform, I recommend, you know, Optimus Flow. If it's others, just 1 second. I just have to do this. 1 second. This gives you a little bit of an insight into my day. Okay. So having said that, okay. To get ready for, okay. So anyway, what I wanted to tell you is I'd say thank you. As far as instruments, I think you mean like a trading instrument. Back to the question, start with micro. Okay. No downplaying the risk of trading micros, but those are small contracts. Maybe that's where you should start, smaller size. As far as you mean the software, I'd love if you were on Optimus Flow. Guys, that's it for now. Listen, thank you very much for attending. I wish you a fantastic day. Emil, thank you. Ben, thank you. I wish you a fantastic day, a fantastic weekend. And you know what? After you read this, I'm going to open a thread about this and you tell me what you think and where it helped you. I get motivated all the time. I do things all the time to get me motivated. I keep on learning all the time. I never stop. You always have to recharge your batteries, right? Always do it. So keep on coming on Thursday. I love having you here. And until next time, thank you again. Have a good weekend. Just as a legal disclaimer, there's a substantial risk of loss in futures trading. Past performance is not indicative of future result. Trade only with risk capital. That's it. Good for now. Jake, we can end. And goodbye until next time.
Thank you for listening to the Optimus Futures podcast. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play. You can also find us on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, and Google Plus, all under the username Optimus Futures. If you have any questions, feel free to send us an email to support@optimusfutures.com or give us a call directly at 561-367-8686 or toll free at 1-800-771-6748. Once again, thank you for listening to the Optimus Futures podcast. Please remember that this matter should be viewed as a solicitation to trade. Trading futures and options involves substantial risk of loss and is not suitable for all investors. Past performance is not necessarily indicative of future results. You should therefore carefully consider whether such trading is suitable for you in light of your financial condition. Optimus Futures LLC is not affiliated with, nor does it endorse any trading system, methodologies, newsletter, or similar service. We urge you to conduct your own due diligence.